like to turn to the book of Romans, chapter 8. Book of Romans, chapter 8. Just want to read the first verse. Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Notice the opening statement. There is present tense. Therefore, referring back to what has been said, which is sinner is justified by grace, justified and saved by grace. There is therefore, or because a sinner is justified and saved by grace, now, again, present tense, there is therefore now, right now, no, that means not any. It's a very emphatic negative. There is therefore now no or not any condemnation. Speaking of complete and final rejection, eternal death, damnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to them, that's particular individuals, not everybody, but particular individuals, to them which are, there's present tense again, in Christ Jesus. All those who are in Christ Jesus, there is now no condemnation to them. In Christ Jesus, and what has been said so far in this verse, speaks of the standing of a child of God. Our standing is our position by grace. It is our position by grace. Our standing has to do with that which is true of every saved individual. If it's true of every saved individual, that's our standing, or that's the standing of the saved. So it is something that is true of every saved individual, because he or she, whatever the case might be, has been saved by grace. So every saved individual has a glorious standing in the grace of God. There are certain truths that are true of every saved individual. Again, this is our standing. This is one of them. There is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. So our standing, what we are by grace, is perfect. It's not improved upon. It's perfect. It's the same in every other child of God. One individual is not less condemned than another individual when it comes to salvation. It's the same in all the saved. So if it can be said of every saved individual, that's our standing. Now concerning our standing, in the next statement here in Romans 8 verse 1, who's the who? Them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That statement is not the cause of being in Christ, nor is it the cause of the no condemnation. But it is the proof that one is in Christ. It is the proof of the no condemnation. It is the result of being in Christ. It is the result of the no condemnation. So the proof or evidence that we are in Christ is that we feel the effects of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, causing us to walk after the dictates of the Spirit rather than the flesh. This walk that we read of here speaks, of course, of our state. We have our standing. There is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. That's the same for all children of God. That's our standing. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's our state. It's not the same in every child of God. Our state is our actual spiritual condition. Our walk, our conduct, our life. Unlike our standing is perfect. Our state in this life is never perfect. It always falls short of perfection. It can always improve, and it can get worse. So it's always changing. However, our standing never changes. In Christ never changes. No condemnation never changes. So our standing is our position in Christ. Our state is our practice. It's how we live. The hymn writer, John Peterson, wrote the hymn, Heaven Came Down, and the first part of the second verse says, born with the Spirit, with life from above, into God's family divine, justified fully through Calvary's love, oh, what a standing is mine. Oh, what a standing is mine. And that is true of every child of God. Oh, what a standing is mine. It is beyond human comprehension. In Christ is beyond full understanding. It cannot be fully told. And it is not fully revealed. Now, the Bible reveals or teaches, especially the New Testament, that our state, our manner of living, should correspond to our standing. It was true when we were lost. Ephesians chapter 2 makes that very, the first four verses make that very plain. We walked according to our standing as a lost or an unsaved individual. So our state, our condition, should correspond to our standing. Notice this is taught. Notice in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. We have no specific outline tonight, and that never happens. But that's the way it is. Ephesians 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Called is our standing. And we're to walk worthy. That's our state. We're to walk worthy of our standing. Notice in Ephesians 5, verses 1 through 3. Be therefore followers of God. That's our state. That's what we're to be doing. Our standing is we're dear children. And we're to be followers of God as dear children. That is, our life is to correspond with our standing. And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication, all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you, as becometh, or that is, because such would not be becoming of your standing, which is a saint. That is, you've been set apart by God. You've been made holy by God. That's our standing. We're saints, and we're to walk accordingly. Notice in verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. That's our standing. Light in the Lord. Our state, walk as children of light. Our standing is we're light. Our walk, we're to walk as children of light. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, risen with Christ is our standing. Every saved individual is risen with Christ. Again, Ephesians chapter 2. He hath raised us to sit in heavenly places. This is our standing. Then we have our state. Since we are risen with Christ, we're to seek. That is, this is our manner of living. We're to seek those things which are above. So, the point is, our life is to reflect our standing. Oh, what a standing is mine. That's true of every one of us that are saved. That being true, oh, what a life is mine. Our life should correspond to our standing. Our manner of living should be in accord, should line up with our standing. The more by faith that we claim the facts of our standing in Christ, the more we will reflect our standing by our practice. The more we grasp by faith our standing in Christ, the more we walk as a new creature. The more we, by faith, understand our standing, the more resolved we are for that to be our practice. So we have to have some understanding of what our standing is in Christ, what we have in Jesus Christ. I want to speak tonight on living life as a reflection of our standing in Christ. We cannot do that completely, but our lives certainly ought to reflect our standing in Christ. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye, through his poverty, which is an act of grace, might be rich." We the saved, every saved individual, is rich right now. Right now, every saved individual, regardless of their state, every saved individual is rich. Every saved individual, regardless of how they're living, has more than any lost person on the face of the earth. We're rich in Christ. That's our standing. Right now, as we sit here at this present moment, we are rich beyond compare. It's the best kind of wealth that an individual can have. It's spiritual wealth. and therefore it cannot be lost. But be sure of this, there would be no spiritual riches for you and I, either here or in eternity, separate and apart from the grace of God and the riches and the poverty of Jesus Christ. So again, oh, what a standing is mine. Now, occasionally, you will hear or read of a person who had an abundance of wealth, material wealth, but no one ever knew that they were wealthy because they did not live the lifestyle of the wealthy. In other words, their lifestyle did not correspond to their wealth. And in some cases, there have been people who have had great wealth and who lived as paupers. Such, of course, is extremely rare. It's very unusual in the physical realm. But sadly, it's very common in the spiritual realm. People are rich, children of God, and yet they live the lives of paupers, spiritual paupers. It's very uncommon in the material realm, but very, very common in the spiritual realm. Again, everyone who has been saved has been made rich in Christ. Yet, many live the lives of the pauper. We are rich, yet how often God's people live and think as if they were spiritually bankrupt. They live that way. They think that way. They see things that way. They're the richest people on earth. And yet, they live as though they were spiritually bankrupt. That's sad. We all, to some degree, live below our spiritual possibilities. We all live below our standing in Christ. None of us act as if as rich as we really are. None of us live according to what we have in Christ to the fullest. Not one of us live a life that fully corresponds to the riches that we possess right now in Jesus Christ. It's just like if someone is materially rich and they live the life of a pauper and they die and come to find out they had millions and millions and millions of dollars, you'd say, well, I can't believe it. That's an absolute shock. And that's how it is with the life of many children of God. Here this person, they live like the devil. They live like any other lost person. And they may be saved. And some say, well, I sure wouldn't believe it. Why wouldn't you believe it? Because they didn't live it. And that's sad. That it is possible that we would live so different than our standing that it would shock people. But oh, what a standing is mine, and therefore what a life I can live. Consider our standing in Christ. Again, if it can be said of every saved person, that's our standing. That's our standing. Our names have been written down in a Lamb's Book of Life. Is that not true of every saved individual? Yes, it is. That's our standing. Well, they don't believe the truth like we do. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about our standing. And every saved individual, regardless of how they live, every saved individual has their name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. We have passed from death unto life. You cannot be saved without passing from death unto life. It's not possible. So that is our standing. It's true of every saved individual. They have passed from death unto life. We have also been fully justified by His grace. One individual is no more justified than another individual. There are not degrees of justification. Just as there are no degrees of there is now, therefore, no condemnation. Every saved individual is justified, seen as righteous in the eyes of God because of Jesus Christ. Every saved individual has the forgiveness of sins. It's true of every saved person. They have been reconciled to God. They were at enmity to God. They were the enemies of God. But every saved person was once an enemy, but is no longer. They may live like one, but their standing is they have been reconciled to God. We have been redeemed through His blood. That's true of every saved person. Well, they don't believe like we do on baptism. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about our standing in Christ. Every saved individual has been redeemed through His blood. Along those same lines, every saved individual has been bought with a price. Every saved individual has been delivered from eternal death, has been delivered from the power of darkness, has been spared from the wrath to come. That's true of every saved individual. And it's no more true of one than it is another. We belong to Christ. That also is true of every saved individual. May not live like we do, but every saved individual belongs to Jesus Christ. Every saved individual is an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. That's our standing. And it's perfect. It doesn't improve. It doesn't get away. I mean, that's our standing. We have obtained an inheritance. We are new creatures in Christ. Some manifest it more than others, without doubt. But every saved person has been made new in Jesus Christ. That's their standing. We are in Christ, as we see here in Romans 8, verse 1. You read further there in Romans chapter 8, not only are we in Christ, but He's in us, in the person of the Spirit. And that's true of every saved individual. Some manifest it more than others, no doubt. But it's true of every saved individual. They are in Christ, and Christ is in them. That's our standing. We are the called of Jesus Christ. You can't be saved without being called. Every saved individual has been called. We are eternally secure in Christ. And we believe the Bible teaches, that every child of God is equally eternally secure. One does not have more security than another. We are eternally secure. We are complete in Christ. That's our standing. One day it's going to be recognized, but that's our standing right now. We are complete in Christ. We are dearly loved of God. Every saved individual is loved of God. We need to always keep that in mind. We are dearly, every saved individual is dearly loved of God. Every saved individual is a sheep in His flock. I'm not talking about a church. But they are a sheep in His flock. Every saved individual is clothed in the righteousness of Christ. That's why every saved individual is justified. We are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. We are citizens of heaven. One is no more a citizen than another. Every saved individual is a citizen of heaven. Every saved individual has all sufficiency in all things. May not live like it, but that's our standing. We have all things that pertain to life and godliness. That's why a child of God cannot truthfully say, I can't do that. If God has called you to do something, you cannot truthfully say, I can't do that. That is beyond me. Because all things that pertain to life and godliness, He's given it to us. That's our standing. We have God's all-sufficient grace. We have God's power. We have access to the Father. We have a great high priest. Is He one person's high priest more than another person's? I'm talking about saved individuals. No, He's the high priest of the saved. This is our standing. We have an unfailing intercessor. Romans 8 brings this out. The Holy Spirit. We have an advocate with the Father, which is Jesus Christ. An advocate is someone who speaks on our behalf. It's like an attorney, but an honest one. We have an advocate with the Father. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. And from the book of Revelation, it's made pretty clear that Satan has access to the throne of God. And what does he do? He accuses the brethren. Is that not what he did with Job? Says, you remove his protection, you take away his wealth, he'll curse you. He was accusing Job. Jesus Christ acts as our advocate. He's our defender. That's true of all the saved. That's our standing. We have peace with God, which goes along with being reconciled with God. We have the indwelling Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8 teaches very plainly that every saved individual has the Holy Spirit dwelling within them. And that's why we can all fall. We can all get deep in sin. But if the Holy Spirit is dwelling within us, you can't possibly be happy there. It's not going to happen. The Spirit of God dwells within us. Romans 8:28, we belong to a sovereign God who works all things together for our good. That too is that's our standing. What a standing is mine. The hymn writer understood some truth when he wrote that verse. Oh, what a standing is mine. We are His workmanship. We are His workmanship. Our needs are supplied in Christ. We are kept by the power of God. We have a building of God eternal in the heavens. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. May not live like it, but that's our standing. We have a glorious future. Every saved individual has a glorious future. Romans 8 verse 1 brings that out. There is now no condemnation. No condemnation assures me of a glorious future. No condemnation for the child of God assures them of a wonderful future. Every saved individual has a glorious future. You wouldn't know it by observing many. But that's our standing in Christ. So again, oh, what a standing is mine. In light of that, should we not serve Him? Should we not submit to Him? Should we not draw near to Him? Should we not worship Him? Should we not thank Him? Should we not live entirely for Him? In light of our standing? You see, the more we grasp by faith our standing, the more we want to live for Him. Also our standing, we are the sons and the daughters of God. That's our standing. If a person is saved, they are either the son or the daughter of God. John was overtaken with the wonder of such a thought. In 1 John 3 and verse 1, he said, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." Is one more a child of God than the other? No. In your family, you may have brothers and sisters, and you or maybe one of your brothers or sisters may have a closer relationship with your parent than you do, or you have one more than they do. But that doesn't make you more of a son or more of a daughter. You're equally sons and daughters of your parent. And so it is with the saved individual. We're all sons and daughters of God. That's why we talk about the family of God. Some have a closer relationship with the Father. No question about that, but that's our state. Right now, we're talking about our standing. We are the sons and daughters of God. Now, you think about that. The son or the daughter of God. You know, there's a time in a child's life when they're very, very proud of dad or mom, and they'll brag about dad or mom. Then there comes another time when they're not so proud, ashamed. That's a different subject. But our father, my father, owns everything. He owns everything. There is nothing that he does not own. And I'm his heir. It's all his. We are his sons, and we are his daughters. Well, what does your father do? Well, let me tell you. He reigns over the universe. He reigns over all. There is nowhere that He does not reign. There is nowhere or nothing beyond His control. How strong is our Father? Strong enough to control everything. How wise is our Father? Wise enough to control everything. And here we are, a son or a daughter of God. Our Father is almighty. He has created everything. How did He do that? Let there be light, and there was light. He spoke. And was done. He not only created everything, He sustains all things. How does He do that? He just speaks. He just speaks. And you see, a lot of these doomsday people, they don't understand that God sustains everything. Oh, the sun is going to run out of power. No, it's not. Because my Father sustains it. He's in the past, He's in the present, He's in the future. My Father's everywhere. We are sons and daughters. He cannot be confined to a single place. And there is nowhere that He is not. And wherever He is, He's who He is. He's God. He's God. You say, well, is God in hell? Yes. God's everywhere. God's wrathful presence is in hell. He's everywhere. There's nowhere He isn't. And guess who's God in hell? He is. He is. We are His sons and His daughters. He knows everything. There's nothing He does not know. There is no one more loved, more cared for the sons and daughters than the sons and daughters of God. There is no one who possesses more than the sons and daughters of God. Does our life reflect that we are the sons and the daughters of God? Everywhere we go, it ought to reflect that I am a son or a daughter of God. I belong to God. Our lives ought to reflect that we are His children. There ought to be a family resemblance. We ought to look like Christ. We ought to look like Him. We ought to have a resemblance to Him. Also, part of our standing, not only are we the sons and daughters of God, we have the greatest friend there is in Christ. That's our standing. In reconciliation, He became our friend. We're sons and daughters of God, and He's our friend. He's an infinite friend. He's an unsearchable friend. He's immeasurable. He's incomprehensible. He's all. He's everything. And He's my friend. We are rich. We are rich. That He is our friend is our standing. Oh, what a standing is mine. But we read in James chapter 2 and verse 23 concerning Abraham that Abraham was called the friend of God. God is my friend. God is a friend to me. That's my standing. If I am a friend to Him, that's my state. Every saved individual, God is your friend. Don't ever think of God as your enemy. You know, we live in a day, and one of these days I'm going to preach on this, but I've been working on it for a long time. We live in a day, I don't want to go off preaching on this, but just use the realm of our fellowship, people we fellowship with. We live in a day partly because of narcissism, that if someone does not agree, they become the enemy. And that's sad. That's sad. We can disagree on some doctrines. I'm not talking about compromise. I'm talking about disagreeing on some doctrines. That doesn't make them an enemy necessarily. We are to be the friend of God. That is, we are to act as a friend to God. He is our friend. That's our standing. Nothing can change that. Nothing. No matter what happens in my life, Jesus is a friend to me. Are we always friends to Him? No. Many times we're very poor friends to Christ. But that's our state. So each one of us that are saved can sing tonight, "Oh, what a standing is mine." And just think about that tonight. Just being saved, what that means. But we have to stop and ask ourselves. And we have to make examination. Does my life reflect my standing in Christ? There are different degrees. And none of our lives, all of our lives, fall short of our standing, no question. But all of our lives should reflect. There should be some reflection of our standing in Christ. Does my manner of living reflect my standing in Christ? I do believe that it matters. Because you, I'm talking to the saved, because you belong to Christ, it does matter what you do with this physical body. It matters because of your standing. It matters. What we put on these physical bodies. The way we present these physical bodies. It matters. Because of our standing. It's not our body. This attitude, "It's my body, I'll do with it what I please," that's built on a false premises. It's not your body. You didn't make it. And you don't own it. He does. And these bodies ought to reflect. What we do with these bodies ought to reflect our standing in Christ. How we conduct ourselves. How we talk. How we relate to people. How we do everything ought to reflect. Not the world. It's pretty common, it's pretty easy to fall into the behavior of the world. Somebody acts towards you in a worldly, ungodly way, your flesh is going to get riled up and you might react the same way. It's never right. "Well, they provoke me." It's never right. Our life is to reflect our standing in Christ. You know what we ought to do many times? Someone, you feel someone has done you wrong. "I'm going to go tell my dad." That's what you ought to do. "I'm going to go tell my dad. I'm going to go tell my father. I'm going to go talk to my father." And oh, how much better off we'd be. But we need to ask ourselves how much, and again, we all fall short, so short. How much does our life reflect our standing in Christ? Again, if it can be said of all the saved, that's our standing. And that's by grace. It's all by the grace of God. And our life ought to reflect, "I have been saved by the grace of God." And my life ought to show that. All of our lives ought to reveal that fact. And if they do, the Lord will consider us a very, very peculiar people. You will be considered a stranger. in this world. Christ said, because they hated me, they'll hate you. The more we manifest Christ, the more the world is going to look at us and wonder, and more the world is going to hate us. So God help us that our lives would reflect our standing. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us first song.